take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 19. Acts, chapter number 19. Acts, chapter number 19. I was reminded walking in by Brother Tim Israel that there was a football game tonight and that I needed to make it quick. So I don't see him in here. I think he's already left. So. Acts chapter number 19. We'll be reading just a few verses. I'll give you what the Lord has laid on my heart. Before we read the Word of God, I was reminded this afternoon driving to lunch, Brother Josh, he stood up and he invited our church on a missionary trip for this coming July there out there in the Navajo Reservation. I was reminded of a man of God by the name of C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd, he was a preacher, evangelist, a missionary out of England. He was born in the 1800s, died in 1930, 1931, something like that. He was a well-known cricket player. He made great fame by playing the game cricket, come from a very wealthy family, a well-to-do family. God saved him. God called him to preach. C.T. Studd left England. He left all the cushion, the good life, the riches that he had. He went to Africa, the Congo. He went to India. He went to China. And won many, many to Christ. At the end of his life, they asked C.T. Studd. They said, "C.T., well, you lived a life of missionary and sharing the gospel, but you left England. Why would you leave the riches? Why would you leave the great wealth, the cushion you could have had, a pastor in a church there in your hometown, in your home country of England?" C.T. Studd made this statement. This is what I want you to hear tonight. He made this statement. He said, "Some want to live within the sounds of the chapel church bell, but I want to run a rescue shop a yard from the gates of hell." Do you hear what he said? He said, "Some want to live within the sounds of the church chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of the gates of hell." You know, that should challenge each and every one of us tonight to want to go and share the gospel. To tell a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. You know, it could be you and I tonight out in a foreign country or out in some reservation in poverty where there's no churches, no preaching, no the good news, the gospel of Christ. That should challenge us to want to go and share the gospel of Christ. I felt led just to say that tonight. Acts chapter number 19, verse number 11. The Bible says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, Exodus, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.'" Verse 14, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?' And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Verse 19, "And many also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Tonight we have an unusual, an odd story here in the book of Acts about one that named Paul, some of these seven sons of a priest named Sceva that tried to cast evil spirits out of a man that had been possessed for some time. Now, I'd like to look at a thought tonight just for a few minutes. And maybe the Lord would speak to our hearts and see how he wants to help us. In verse number 11, we find Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, we know he was used mightily. He was used greatly to the glory of God the Father. In our text, the Bible says that he wrought special miracles. He brought forth. He brought forth these special miracles by the hands of God. As we read and we study our Bible, we know Paul, he was the last apostle that had these apostolic miracles, these special wonders, these special gifts that were given. There's no, whatever you may see on TV or not, there's no more apostles, no more Christians that has these gifts, these apostolic miracles, these works that are wrought. Paul said, and we even know that they were for the nation of Israel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that the Jews require a sign and the Greeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. These special miracles, these miraculous works, these unusual works, these signs, this out of ordinary healings. We know that they were given by Paul, but they came from God. And as Paul would go out his daily routine, as we just read, he may wipe his brow with a handkerchief, or he may take a piece of cloth and wrap around his head for a sweatband, or take a small piece of linen, a small apron, and wrap around himself as workers did so often in those days. And as his laboring and him toiling and him traveling and him preaching, him serving God, they would come to Paul and they would take these handkerchiefs, they would take these pieces of cloth, these aprons, these sweatbands, and from those, from Paul's body we just read, they were taken to the sick, they were taken to the disease, they were healed. Many of them that had these evil spirits, the Bible says they left them. These miraculous miracles Paul wrought, the special works, these special wonders, they came from God and they were through Paul. But tonight we find there's another group of people. As we read in our text, we find Paul, this great man of God that had the power of God, the touch of God on his life. But we also read about seven sons of a chief priest, seven sons of one named Sceva. We find this group, they could not perform special miracles or special works or wonderful healings from an almighty God. These seven sons of a priest, seven sons of Sceva, no doubt they wanted the notoriety, they wanted the popularity, they wanted the accolades. They wanted the power that Paul had. They wanted it, no doubt, for the wrong reason. They wanted it to be seen among the crowd. And as we read our Bibles, we read the New Testament and the Gospel, you'll find time and time again, where there was ones that were possessed, or ones that were influenced, ones that were controlled and directed over these demonic spirits, these devils from hell. It was true then, and I still believe it's true today. I believe as society, as it's grown much more worse, it's grown more wicked, and it's grown more vile, it's grown more ungodly and unclean. Then the hour I believe we live in, it's unpopular to say, and it's taboo to say, but I believe many of the agendas, many of the movements, many of the policies, and much of the people we see today, they're controlled, they're influenced, they're directed by evil spirits. Tonight, if you're saved, and tonight, if you're born again, if you're being blood washed, you're a child of God, there ought to be a spirit that lives in you, that directs you, that guides you, that leads you, that takes over your life. But on the other hand, tonight, if you're lost, if you've never put your faith and placed your faith in and on Jesus Christ, you're a candidate to have another spirit, not from heaven, not the Holy Ghost, not God the Holy Ghost, but another spirit from hell that can direct you and guide you and influence you and possess you. We find these seven sons of a chief priest, seven sons of Sceva, seven sons of a great religious man. They were vagabond Jews, the Bible says. Jews that just traveled from one place to the other. Jews that just went from here to there, roaming about. They wanted what Paul had. They wanted it for the wrong reason. Nonetheless, they wanted the power that Paul possessed. Let me say tonight, that's something every and every one of us should desire to have the power, to have the approval, to have the touch of God in and on our life. And my desire tonight is not to preach to great masses. My desire tonight is not to pastor a large church. My desire tonight is not to be some famous figure, a great politician, to be some great leader. My desire tonight is not to have riches or lands or home or earthly gain. My desire tonight is to have the power of God in and on my life. I must admit, I am seeking fame. I am seeking fame. I'm seeking to be famous, number one, in heaven, and number two, in hell. We find it in our text. We find there's one. There's many that's famous in heaven and famous in hell. I want to be known in both places as one of those that's in the blood-washed crowd. One of those that's been saved by the grace through faith. One of those that God has used. One of those that God has favored. One of those that God had worked through and used, like we read about Apostle Paul. These seven sons of Sceva, seven sons of this priest, they find one, a man that's possessed with evil spirits. The Bible says, we find in verse number 13, it says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, Exodus, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." They find this one, this man that has these evil spirits, and we said, "We adjure you." They say, "We command you to testify." They're saying, we're putting you on trial. We're putting you under oath. They tell me that word adjure. It's a judicial term where we get our word jury. They're calling this man out. They're putting him on the stand. They're calling him out and putting him on trial. But notice his response. In verse number 16, this man, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They call this man out. They're wanting the power that Paul possesses. They're going to cast these evil spirits out of this man. They say, "We adjure you by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And it says that they leaped upon him. They wound him. This man, these spirits, whoops all seven of these sons. They beat them, they bruise them, they tear their clothes off, and they're left running from the house. They wanted the power that Paul had, but we find they're left beaten, bruised, wounded, naked, and ashamed. But what interests me tonight, just for a moment, is what this man with the evil spirit, it's not what he did, but it's what he said. Verse number 15. Bible says, "And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" I don't know all that the devils in hell know, but by reading this one verse, I know who they know. He said, "Jesus I know. Paul I know, but who are ye?" Our youth group, our young people, they sing a song and it says, "The birds up in the air know their creator. Nature sings an awesome song of praise. Even the heavens declare his glory. So that's why I'll stand here and proclaim, I know him. I know him. I met him at the foot of Calvary. I know him. Oh, yes, I know him. But most of all, he knows me. Tonight, I'm rejoicing that I'm one of his. I'm rejoicing that I'm one of His own, that I've been birthed into the family, that I've been redeemed by His blood, I've been saved by His grace. We can rejoice. We can lift our hands in praise, our voices in adoration, that not only we know Jesus Christ, but He knows us. But my question to you is, does hell know who you are? Does hell know who you are? I don't know all what the demons of hell know, but I do know who they know. I see, number one, they know the Christ. In our text, it says, the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus, I know. Let me say, they know who the Son of God is. They know who the darling Lamb of God is. They know who the Holy One of Israel is. They know the Creator. They know who the Messiah is. They said, Jesus, I know. They did not know Him in relationship. They did not know Him in fellowship. But they did know Him in His Lordship. Jesus, I read, He comes to the country of Gadarenes. There was a man possessed with evil spirits. This man runs to Jesus and begins to cry, what have we to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of God. Jesus is in the saints, in the synagogue. He's in the temple. He's in the actual church. And there's a man there with an evil spirit. And he cries and he says, let us alone, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Thou art come to destroy us. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Let me say tonight, the devils in hell know who Jesus is. It's not a coincidence. It's not a mistake tonight if somebody's going to be vile and wretched and ungodly and unclean, that they won't take or use the name of some great leader. They won't use the name of great politicians. They won't use the name of dignitaries, kings, queens, or presidents. But they'll grab that name which is above every name. They'll grab that name which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's a reason there's no other name that can set captives free. There's no other name tonight that can heal broken hearts. There's no other name tonight that can save sinful man. There's no other name tonight that can soothe troubled souls. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men or under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The news tonight in hell is they know who Jesus is. But He's more. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. And I want to say I'm glad tonight I know who Jesus is. The devil knows who He is. They admit of who He is. And we see that's more than some of our church folk do. The devils know about Him. The devil knows who He is. The devils know what He came to do and what He did. But they don't know Him in His free pardon of sin. But let me say tonight, it was a good day. It was a grand day. It was a glorious day. When that day when I stopped thinking like a devil and I stopped acting like a devil, I'd heard all my life John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I'd sang the song, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I knew amazing grace, but that made me no better than the devils of hell. But 21 years ago on a February night, He not only became the Lord of glory, He came the Lord of my life, the Savior of my soul, my kinsman redeemer, the water that I have in a dry and thirsty land. I'm glad I know who He is. The devils in hell knew who He was. You say, preacher, who is He to you? I'm glad you asked tonight. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He's the Holy One of God. He's the image of God. He's the peace of God. He's the love of God. He's the grace of God tonight. He's the lily among all of our valleys. He is that bright morning star, the rose of Sharon. He is the Almighty, and He's the everlasting Father. Tonight, He's our refuge. He's our rock. He's our high tower. He's my God. He's my very present help in a time of trouble. He's my Savior. I'm glad I know who He is. The devil knows who the devils knew who He was, but they didn't know Him in this fashion. But my question is to you tonight, do you know who He is? James chapter 2, verse number 19. James said, thou believest there is only one God. He said, that's good. I'm proud of you. You did a good job. He said, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You say, preacher, I come to church. I'm religious just like these seven sons of Sceva. I know the Bible stories. I'm a member of Fletcher First Baptist Church. That didn't help the devils any. I don't know what they know, but I do know who they know. Let me say, number one, they know the Christ. Number two, they know the Christian. Verse number 15, the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. They know the ones in his family, and they know the ones that's favored by God. I was thinking and studying this. For 24 years, I worked for Lowe's Home Improvement. They were good to me, paid our bills, gave me opportunities I'd never had. At 19-year-old teenager, I realized I wasn't going to make it to the NBA trying to play ball in college, so I approached my dad and asked for a job, and he told me to go to this store, ask for this man, and tell him that I sent you. On that summer day, I went to that store, and I knocked on the store manager's office. I told him who I was. I told him who sent me. He said, come with me. He ripped a receipt off the register, and he takes me outside, and he said, this is a receipt. This is the description. You read this description as these cars pull up, and every how many it says, you put it in her car. I said, yes, sir. Some 15, 16 years later, I get a call from my HR manager. They were having a corporate audit. I said, yes, ma'am. I was hired in 1994. And for years, Brother Jerry, for years, 5, 6, 7 years, I'd introduce myself to someone that worked there, somebody from the corporate office, somebody within the store, and I was only known as Jerry's boy. That's Jerry's son. That's Jerry's offspring. I said that to say this. The devils in hell know who you are. Not because of you're some super spiritual Christian. Not because of your goodness you've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. The only reason the devils in hell know who you are is because you're blood related to one that's the creator God that died for your sins. The devils know who the Christ is. Let me say, the devils know who the Christian is. Job chapter 1. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Jesus asked Satan, he said, where's thou been? He said, from to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. Jesus asked him, he said, has thou considered my servant Job? Not once can I find where he said, who's that? I don't know this fella. I've never heard of him. Before Christ went to the cross, he's talking to his disciples. He tells Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desire to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. Let me say that Satan knows, and the devils of hell know, those that are related to God, those are the family of God, and those that are favored by God. The Bible talks about Jacob. Jacob wrestles with this man. And there, after he wrestles with him, he tells him, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hath power with God and with men. He knows those that have power with God. I wonder tonight, Mom, Dad, when those forces of hell want to come against your family, they want to destroy your children and steal your children and steal their testimony. Do they recognize they have to go through your prayers, your faith, your walk? Do they say, wait a minute, that's the one. That's one of them that has the power of God. Any given Sunday, Preacher Roy, we gather here at Fletcher First Baptist Church, some 300 people, Christians. We say we read our Bible. We say we pray. We say we seek God. We live a clean life. I believe a gathering of 300-some people ought to make hell nervous. We ought to have enough power tonight to be a little blimp on the screen, making hell nervous because we have the power of God. The devils know Number one, who Christ is. Number two, who the Christians are. And in closing, number three, verse number 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. They know the Christ. And Paul I know. They know the Christian. But who are ye? Let me say, they know the counterfeit. This man, he looks at these seven sons of this high priest, of this chief priest, and he says, who are ye? I don't know who you are. I have no clue who you are. Why? Because I see they were a counterfeit. These sons, they had religion. They were related to this great high priest, this great chief priest, but they had no relationship. Look at the end of verse number 13. The Bible says, this is what they say to him. We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. All they knew about Jesus is what they heard the man of God say. All they knew about Christ was what they heard Paul proclaim, what they heard Paul live. We find they were a counterfeit Christian. You can mark this down tonight. Heaven and hell knows if you're a counterfeit or not. You can fool me. You can fool your spouse. You can fool your pastor. You can fool the members of this church. Bible says, Jesus said in verse Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? All I can see is the fruits that you produce. But you can't fool yourself. You can't fool heaven. And you can't fool hell. That's my message tonight. Does heaven know who you are? Does hell know who you are? Are you a Christian? Do you know the Christ? Or are you a counterfeit? Let's stand tonight. Anna Lee, if you'll come play something on the piano, if you don't mind. I don't know who this message is for tonight, but I don't think the Lord would have burdened me with it and laid it on my heart if it wasn't someone here that needs Christ as their Savior. This altar's open. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no greater time.